When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Flushing is Burning. As always, I'm Grace. So there was not a lot of news in Metland this week. Really, the only news is the Mets signing a trio of relievers. So the first one was they signed Adam Ottavino. It feels weird to say they re-signed him, because if you remember, and I doubt you don't, because this has been like 3 months, he opted out of his player option with the Mets, became a free agent, went on like a media tour talking about how they're like a terribly run organization and how he, you know, whatever, stupid, you know, blah, 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 I didn't want to be there, blah, 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 blah. Then he became like a somewhat SNY host, which is like odd, just an odd diversion there. And then in late January, just resigns with the team for less money than he would have made. And you know, people did the present value evaluation because it would have had some deferred money and it was closer, but he still lost money on the deal. It was just, my first reaction was just like, what? Why? And he's 38. He's showed signs of decline, especially in his peripherals. Like, what are we doing here? And it was just such a protracted, stupid way about the whole situation. Every piece of that could have been avoided. And instead, like, everyone comes out of it looking like a complete moron. Right? Because, like, the Mets, you know, my vibe at least at the time was like, okay, they don't have Adam Ottavino on payroll next year. They can improve that bullpen spot, potentially. And then they kind of didn't, maybe really, you know, like, it, you know, they've signed a bunch of, like, high upside guys, which are whatever. But then Adam Ottavino spends this whole time talking about how much he does not want to be there and then just goes back. And he's like, ah, great to be back. And it's like, pal, you should talk the whole place on your way out. Like, what are we doing here? You know? I don't know. It was just, it's so stupid. You know, people throw it around a lot. And it isn't really the same as it once was. But this is like classic Wilpon era LOL Mets. You know, like, this is the stuff. It almost feels a little nice, like, just to get like a little taste of it again, because it is, you really stop and think about it, and it's just the stupidest bullshit. Like it really is. Then they signed Jake Diekman and Shintaro Fujinami over the last couple days. Okay, like, whatever, you know, like, Diekman has never been amazing. He got better when he was with the Rays last year, and the last time the Mets signed a guy who was not great and then became better with the Rays, or traded for him, I guess, was Brooks Raley, which, like, yeah, he was good last year. I don't like Brooks Raley, so as long as Jake Diekman isn't, like, personally offensive, if he does, like, the same level of, like, basically being the same that Brooks Raley did, I'll be fine with him. Shintaro Fujinami was bad with the A's as a starter, went to the Orioles, was pretty alright as a reliever. Starts like 101. And, you know, maybe the pitching lab they have can find something to make him have a little better control. Like, it's just, they missed on Justin Turner. He signed a 1-year deal with the Blue Jays. They missed on Wandy Peralta, who signed one of the most ridiculous contracts I've seen in a while, a 4-year contract with 3 opt-outs. Hilarious. Like, he literally said, if I'm good at any point with you guys, I'm getting the hell out of here, which is admirable. They're now leaking. They're probably just going to stick with Vientos at DH, which, listen, I think Vientos seems like a swell guy, but they put up, like, a comparison of him and J.D. Martinez this year, like, their projected stats. And he's going to hit 20 home runs and only have, you know, 40 OPS points less. A 40 OPS points is like, not a big deal when it's, like, you know, let's say 930 versus 890. Like, that's like, okay, yeah, I get that. The difference here is, like, 768 to 728. That's, like, 728's cutting it a little close there, right? Like, the projections might like you a little too much. And, I don't know, we just have a hard time believing that he, like, after everything we've seen, that he's actually going to be playable, you know? And, like, it's just, it's so boring this year, you know? Like, I get it. It can't be as fun as, like, 2022 or 2023, like, obviously. It's not going to be as fun as signing Max Scherzer, Marte, Canna, Escobar, doing all that stuff, or, like, signing Verlander, re-signing Nimmo, signing Senga. Like, that was fun, and it's not, it just wasn't going to be that way this year. It never was from the outset, but, like, they missed on Yamamoto, and I get why they're doing this. They missed on Yamamoto. They're not going to go after really anyone else. They don't want to ruin the farm system or whatever, but it's just, like, you just want the team to be better than what it's going to be, right? Because, like, you look at this team, and you're like, the last couple of years was, like, can't miss, you know, and, like, yet last year turned into can't miss, but, like, 2022, 2023, the roster going into that season, you sat there and went, I can't miss this. This is going to be great. 2022, I tried not to miss a single game. And now this year, I'm like, yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of times where, like, if the Liberty or Gotham or hell, I mean, their seasons cross over by, like, a month or so, like, PWHL New York. Many of those three are playing at the same time as the Mets. Depending on the game, I might just, like, shift Mets to the small screen and pop on, like, Liberty on the big screen. You know what I'm saying? And it just sucks, right? And what I think is the issue here is fans are, like, Met fans aren't going to tune out completely. They're going to care less. You got to do something to make them care. And the thing is like, the prime thing to do to make them care is not going to happen, right now at least. They're not extending Alonso before he hits free agency. They're going to do the Nimmo with him or whatever. But that's the prime thing that, like, causes a buy-in factor. Like, now, they could turn around and tomorrow announce they've extended Francisco Alvarez. And I think that you would probably have a lot of buy-in then from fans. Fans would get hyped for that. But barring that, because I think that's the only other realistic option at this point, you know? There is no extending Beatty. I don't think they really want to extend Williams or Acuna or any of them until they see what's going on. Because they're just not in the position to do that. Like, they're not surefire prospects the way that, like, Jackson Churio was. But it's just like, you're sitting there and you're like, damn, this is going to be like an 85 win team. And now, granted, we're Mets fans. Last year, they weren't an 85 win team. 2021, they weren't an 85 team. 2020 doesn't really count, but I think if you average it out, they weren't going to be an 85 win team. 2018, they weren't an 85 win team. Like, you know, like, I get it. 85 wins is good for this franchise, especially of late. But, like, they won 100-and-something games 2 years ago. And now we're at the point where we're like, well, we got to see what Mark Vientos has, you know? And it's like, that is a... Yeah, it's just like, oh, God. I'm going to be thinking about that 2022 season, especially like first half, pre-All-Star game. That 2022 season was special, you know, and I'm preaching to the choir here, but like, I'm probably going to spend a lot of time this season thinking about that. I spent a lot of time last season thinking about that too, but like in like that way of being like, oh God, please, why can't we have that again? This year it's going to be like, man, wasn't that great? Which is what I think of the 2019 team. I actually think I spend more time thinking about the 2019 team, which is more fun. So here's the thing. If this is an 85-win team like that team, then the summer's going to be a hoot, right? Because like that was a fun. Did they win 85 games? That they had to have. I think they won 86. That was a fun 80-ish win team like that. I'd take that. I would take a 2019 again. I don't want 85 wins in like a boring way, you know, like, because there's a fun way to win 85 games. There's the Diamondbacks, we go to the World Series way. There's even, we missed the playoffs, but we had a really good time doing it way, like 2019 Mets. And then there's like the, we won 85 teams, we're going to the wild card, we're getting knocked out in the first round, goodbye. Although, if anything, if this year's anything to go by, they ain't getting knocked out in the first round. Yeah, it's just, I'm not even 10 and a half, I'm 10 and a half minutes into this first part, and there's just nothing else to say. You know, I don't know if you can tell I'm vamping here. I'm trying to fill any amount of time, which I really shouldn't be. I don't know if you guys listen to my WNBA podcast that I host with Thomas Henderson, who also hosts on this network, from Complex to Cleans, but our show Top of the Key, we recorded today, and it was an hour and 15 minutes, so I really shouldn't vamp, because I'm a little tired, and I'm kind of annoyed of talking now. I don't like the sound of my voice right now. So why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about more general baseball, sports culture news, because I got a few things to say on that. All right, and we're back. So, in terms of like general baseball stuff, I want to touch on a few. There's a couple stories here that I think are here to create something for me to talk about. The Nationals are retiring their City Connects at the end of this season, and the Philly City Connects leaked. And this is like, you know what this just made me think of? In 20, what year was it? 2016? 2017? I'm a musical person. I love theater. And I loved the show Fun Home, and I was really hoping to get to see it, and I never got to see it on Broadway. And it closed not too long after it won Best Musical at the Tonys. And I remember, as it was announcing it was closing, they were going through all that. Cats was revived on Broadway, and I remember seeing those posters while I was hearing about Fun Home closing. And I remember my thought process being, and this is not dissimilar to how this process went for the jerseys, because the Philly City Connects coming in doesn't really have anything to do with the Nationals retiring theirs, but it still feels like I want to blame it. Like, the National City Connects are so gorgeous. I have a picture of them again the other day, and I was taken again by how beautiful they look. The outlines of the blossoms on the gray part, you can only see when the light hits them just right. Versus the Philly City Connects, which look like a 7-year-old child. What's the line from Love, Simon? Of course I'm quoting Love, Simon right now. Like, could I be any more like me? It looks like a third grader did it. And not even a good third grader. Like a deeply average third grader. Like that's unlike MS Paint. Like that's what the jersey looks like. It's just, These City Connects are going to come in. The Mets are getting a City Connect this year. I'm hoping that them doing the black jersey redesign means that it's not kicking out the black jerseys. I just want to talk about this. I'm so all over the place right now. It's 11:57. You're getting a late night tired, Grace. The Nationals introduced their new jerseys, and the ones that say Washington across the front, I'm not the world's biggest fan of, but I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand 10 toes behind the pullover jersey. I love a pullover jersey, and I think their new pullover jerseys look bomb. Like, those look so fire. The logo, the W over the cap, I mean, that's one of my favorite logos in baseball, maybe in sports. I think it just looks so good. On the jersey, with the piping around the neck and the sleeve, I love that jersey so much, and I'm going to stand behind that jersey. I would buy that jersey, you know? Anyway, got sidetracked. But the Mets City Connects, I hope they're good. Every time I see a good design, I go, I can't see this. I need someone to make a really bad design. So we hopefully the whatever they do is slightly better than that, so I'm not, like, disappointed. The good ones disappoint me every time I see them. I go, I don't want to see this. I don't want to be reminded that there are good options here. Once again, Christian, who we miss terribly, he, when we were talking with him, when he was still hosting, and we mentioned the idea of the home run apple with home run written across the garage, I think that is truly the most genius idea, because I think that those would be so good and yet so bad in a way that is so good that I think that they would automatically become the best ones in the league. You know, like, you would see that and you'd be like, I have, or across the ass, like juicy, you know, like like, I think that would be the only way for the Met ones to be, like, bad but good, you know? Anyway, the Philly ones are terrible. They look awful. The Philly font is too small. I would actually not mind the Philly font that much if it was bigger. But it looks like it's going to take up, like, a tiny little rectangle across the place. Should be full. I mean, look at the Met jerseys. Mets takes up the whole chest. That's what should be, like, all the way across. Instead, it's like you need, like, reading glasses to read it, you know? How am I supposed to see that from the field? Washington again did it right. WSH. Nailed it. I think if those just said, like, Washington across the front, they'd be S-tier, undisputed best ones ever made, you know? Like, that's, we'd be talking, like, best ever jersey. Not even City Connect, just ever. I think that's where we'd be at that. Anyway, I'm very curious. Ooh, took up like 5 minutes doing that. I have a lot of feelings on that. Maybe I'll work on it. Maybe next week I'll gather up a list and do my ranking of the City Connects. Because I feel like I probably have some controversial opinions on these. I'm a very visual person, and I like very colorful, interesting looking visuals. Like, keep in mind, I love, like, old Technicolor movies, so the more color your jersey has, the better. I love the San Diego ones, which isn't really that much of a hot take, but, like, if the Baltimore ones had more of that pattern that they have on the inside, if they had that, like, in the, like, the logo part, I would fucking love them, you know? Or if Baltimore was in black and the jersey was that obnoxious thing design, I would love that. I would wear one. I'm gonna add Lee Rutschman one right now. Let's move on before I totally spend 40 minutes talking about how much I love baseball jerseys. They announced that Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Vladdy, is going to be on the cover of MLB The Show. I personally think this is very fun and very cool. I've seen a complaint of people being like, oh, he's not a star. You need a star on the cover. He's not a star. And then making the same complaints about Jazz Chisholm. And I'm really confused about this. Because, like, Jazz Chisholm, I get a little bit more for Jazz, right? Because Jazz is, like, really cool and really fun and is, like, a star in the making. But he hasn't had, like, that success level, especially pre-2023. Like, coming into that season, he'd just been hurt all year the year before. So he didn't have, like, the star-making moment. Vladdy won the fucking home run derby last year. He's, like, a known face in the league. He had that insane home run derby performance a few years ago. And yes, while this isn't game performances, like, he's a star of the league, right? And he's got a famous name. Regardless of what his regular season stats are, like, who gives a shit? You know, like, he's fun and cool. That's why they put him on the cover. He's a better, like, I would rather have someone like Vladdy, who maybe isn't the world's best player. He didn't win MVP last year or whatever, but, like, he's more fun than freaking Josh Donaldson, who's out here being a racist asshole. Like, you know, he was on the cover. Like, someone fun and cool should be on the cover. That's why I think fucking, like, Julio Rodriguez should be on the cover 1 year. They should be putting Lindor on the cover soon. Like, he should be a cover guy. I'm trying to think of who else in the league is, like, really fun and really cool. I mean, actually, like, they did Bryce Harper almost too early. Like, he's always been kind of fun and cool, but I feel like since he's come to Philly, he's been so much more fun and cool. Juan Soto's a great choice. They should do pitchers. I know they did Ohtani, but like, does that, that doesn't, that only half counts because he's also, he's DH and he hits a million home runs and that's what people remember him of. But they should do like a pitcher on like, because there's like, there's a bunch of cool young pitchers like Spencer Strider on like, that would bang. That'd be great. The cover looks great this year. Love the design. I love the way that like, I feel like for so many years they didn't do like the really cool designs to be like a picture of the person and almost like a little technological thing and then MLB The Show. And then lately they've been really leaning into like drawings, like you know, sort of almost like a cartoony thing with it. And I think it especially really works for Vladdy's. I love the way Vladdy's cover looks. I'm very excited. I'm a big fan of MLB The Show. Diamond Dynasty, that's my shit. It didn't eat me up as much this year, but I had a lot going on this year. But I have definitely, in years past, lost weeks of my year to MLB The Show. It is so much fun. The road to the show. I'm a big fan of March to October. That's a fun one. I also like the play on words of the title. I love that. Okay, I gotta change gears because what I'm about to talk about is not funny or charming. So if you're not in at least the periphery of the world of wrestling, this news might have, you might have seen it, but it might not have been as plastered across your feed as it is in mine. Vince McMahon, who is, he was the head of WWE, CEO, chairman, whatever. He was found to have given like $20 million in hush money to women for sexual misconduct. He left the board, and this is going back a couple years, left the board, comes back, they sell the company, he's on the new board of the new company, and then it comes out this week that he is being sued for sex trafficking and sexual assault. And I'm not going to get into the really hairy details of the case because it is horrific. It's on the Wall Street Journal if you need to read it or if you really want to know, but it is deeply horrific. One of those stories that really shocks you to your core. It's been a while since I've read something like that. Sickening. Well, not really that long. I also read the, and we'll get into this in a minute, but the ESPN Wander Franco article also did that. It's a great time to be a sports fan. But essentially, he met a girl who lived in, I believe, his building. He met her. Her parents had just died. He goes, oh, she needed a job. He goes, oh, I'll give you a job. WWE. And then he proceeded to sexually assault her and traffic her to multiple people involved in the company, including Brock Lesnar, who is a name, huge name in wrestling. And then she was sexually assaulted by other people. And there were graphic text messages sent and all this stuff. And what I think this has now exposed on top of all this, and he's now being looked into federally. Like, this is a civil suit, and now it's being added to a federal investigation of him. What I think this really causes us to reevaluate, which we started with Wander Franco too, is Trevor Bauer and all of these cases are sort of popping up more and more. And now that we're in this era of understanding how we're talking about these things, and I just read Three Ring Circus, which is a really great book about the Lakers dynasty from 96 to 2004. And at the end, they get into Kobe Bryant's sexual assault case. And it was jarring to see how people treated it then. And we have come a long way, but we definitely, there's so many issues with coverage of things of these nature. You know, Triple H, who runs the company, he's Vince McMahon's son-in-law. If you don't understand the family dynamics at play, he married Vince McMahon's daughter, Stephanie. They have children together. And during the press conference after the pay-per-view that happened literally days after this all got released, it was a shit show. You had reporters not even bothering to ask about it, who were instead focusing on Netflix deals and the Attitude Era and all like this stupid peripheral, surface level bullshit. And then when reporters were asking about it, he was basically like, oh, I don't want to focus on the negative. He didn't even say no comment, which is like standard brand. You'd be like, yeah, it's a legal case. The company's about to get dragged into this. Of course, the answer is no, I have no comment on that. This is an ongoing legal matter. Blah, blah, blah. It's just standard bear. We would all be like, yeah, okay. And instead he was like, oh, well, don't want to focus on the negatives. I want to focus on the positives, which is bananas. Like, just think about that. I don't want to focus on the negatives here. Yeah, what we do, right? Like, someone here was assaulted and trafficked. And you're sitting here going, that's too negative for me. Are you kidding? And what's interesting here is that we're seeing baseball become sort of one of the better sports on this, where, like, the Wander Franco stuff, the ESPN report covered it really well. Hector Gomez has been covering it really well, which really he's just translating stuff, but it's very, like, this is what's happening, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, we're still seeing Ken Rosenthal. Like, there's still a lot to be desired here. People who are continuing to vote for Omar Vizquel and Andrew Jones to get into the Hall of Fame. You know, we have to punish Carlos Beltran for cheating, which, again, I'm never going to sit here and go, that's fine. But we have to punish him for cheating, but not the guys who are abusive and assault people and everything like that. Like, that's fine, because they were really good at defense at their positions. And I think we need reporters and people within the industry to become cognizant. There was this whole discourse within the discourse of the Vince McMahon thing that one of the reporters that people got upset with for not asking an actual question was the first person to ask a question. It was a woman, and she basically was like, oh, how's that Netflix deal? It's pretty awesome, right? Like, I think that was the question she asked. And it was something in that vein. People were like, hey, this new story just broke, and you're the first person to get a question, and that's what you asked the question for. And I think while we can't put it all on women, we do need to put it all on the reporters, right? Like, that's the thing, is it's not just the women reporters, it's all the reporters, but the women reporters are included in this. These issues need to be covered with dignity and a deft touch, but also it needs to hold these people accountable and need to hold their feet to the fire, and not just the people who commit the crimes, but people who do nothing, who know and do nothing, right? Like, you're going to sit there and tell me Triple H doesn't know anything? Because he didn't even claim that. He just said, not even no comment, I just want to focus on the positives. And, you know, I think we've made so many strides. Again, you read that book, you read the way that, like, there's a football player, I believe it was, who went to a Halloween party with his wife. I can't believe I'm about to say this. He dressed as Kobe Bryant and she dressed up as his victim. Right? Like, this is, we've made so many strides, but we're still so far behind. And it's so stupid to me that people can't see this. The people in the industry are going to sit there and they're not going to be able to see past the tip of their own nose to see that what people want is, people want truth and they want accountability and they want deftness of touch. And they're given none of this. So I really would like to not have to talk about this again, because it is incredibly depressing. But I'm sure more details will come out. And as I've said with Wander Franco, which I'm trying to remember. Last week was the Oscar stuff was going on, so I was going crazy. And I don't think I covered it. I'm going to see if there's anything in that Wander Franco article that needs to be discussed. But it's really just everything we know, just times 10, even worse. And I don't know that I want to talk about it again until we get some sort of, like, legal resolution. Even if it's just, like, there's a court date coming up, the Rays have suspended him for the season, like, something like that, you know? Other than that, I don't really feel like rehashing it when I don't need to. But why don't we take a break, and when we come back, there'll be time for our movie minute. All right, and we're back. So, my movie minute this week, I watched this really good documentary, just came out on Wednesday, on Tubi, which is a streaming service that is completely free. I have it on my TV. Completely free. It has some commercials, but this is a Tubi original, so it didn't actually have that many commercials. It's called Shattered Glass, a WNBPA story. And I recommended back when we first started the show, Unfinished Business. Really great documentary about WNBA. And what I think is really interesting is that this makes a very good double feature with that one, because that one, you know, takes us through to now, the history of the league. Shattered Glass gives us where the league is now and where they're looking to go. And it focuses on three players. Focuses on Breanna Stewart, Jonquel Jones, and Nneka Ogwumike. I know I've definitely mentioned the Liberty on here before. Breanna Stewart and Jonquel Jones are on the Liberty. Nneka was on the Sparks, but just became a free agent. She's not returning to the Sparks. The New York Liberty are actually one of her final three teams, which by the time this comes out, who knows if that's still accurate information. But they're all in the Players Association. They all take their roles in the Players Association seriously. And Nneka is the president. And it's a really good look at what women's athletes have to fight for, you know? Because it's a league that's still growing. It's still, you know, a young league. This started in 97. So this is its 28th season, I think. I'm trying to think what like a good, this is basically like the early 1900s for baseball. Like, think about how far away that is. That's where we are right now with the WNBA. And they're fighting for chartered flights. They're fighting for the ability to get on a plane that is just them, you know, which I'm sure any men's league has probably had for eons. And they're fighting for I just want to say, this is really stupid that they're fighting for this, because the league has had a chance to do charter flights before. Joe Tsai, and I believe the owner of the Aces, went to the league and said, listen, we know whatever airline was, Delta or whatever. We own men's sports teams. We work with Delta. They are willing to charter our flights completely, you know, for free. They'll advertise, obviously, that they do it. Good press for them for a couple of years, 3-4 years, whatever. And in that time, we then have the ability to figure out how we're going to pay for this. And the league said no, because we don't want the players to get used to it. Which is so crazy, right? And that's like such a CBA negotiation thing. But the difference is that, like, it's just like MLB, the thing they didn't want the players to get used to is like the universal DH. The thing that they don't want the women's players to get used to is like comfort, you know, like literal, their personal comfort. And they're fighting for pensions for retired players. They don't have that. It's crazy. And, you know, I could go on and on about what they're fighting for, but that's a lot of the stuff that they cover in there. And it's, you know, they focus on Nneka and the Players Association, but their focus with Stewie and Jonquel is like the ability of players to choose now their destiny, right? And they both went to the Liberty, and Liberty went to the finals last year. Didn't love the documentary making me relive the finals game four. There's a bit where they're about to show it, and Stewie goes, I don't want to watch this, and closes the laptop. And I was like, honestly, Stewie, I'm about to shut off this documentary. I don't want to watch it either. But yeah, it's a really good, really good documentary. And I think that, and Unfinished Business, and there's another one recently on ESPN called Candace Parker Unapologetic, which gives you just sort of the focal point on Candace Parker, who's one of the greatest players ever in the league. We're in like a golden age of like women's sports documentaries. At least it has turned into a golden age of women's sports movies just generally, because I think we need more of those. But yeah, Sue Bird in the Clutch just debuted at Sundance, and I think we're in a really good spot. I'd like to see like a long form one, you know, like Last Dance. I'd like to see that. That'd be fun for the league. But yeah, I highly recommend Shattered Glass. It's on Tubi, completely free. Some commercials in there, but didn't really bother me. There was like 2 or 3 commercial breaks, and it's 1 hour and 14 minutes, like super quick watch. Do recommend watch through like halfway through the credits. At the start of the credits, it like starts off as regular credits, and then it goes into like outtakes, but like deleted bits. And it was, sorry that you heard that, that was my dog. But yeah, it's a really, really funny doc, really funny, really good. And I think what is really great about it, I think we need for these women's sports leagues, is to get to know these players personally and to get to see them out, you know, off the court, outside of the basketball. And that's another thing that the documentary does really well. It gives you Stewie with her wife and their kids, and Jonquil Jones with her fiance, and NECA and her sister and her parents. Like, it gives you a really good insight to all these people. Yeah. Highly recommend Shattered Glass, a WNBPA story. That about does it for me here. It's 12:18 now. I'm ready to go to bed. I got work in the morning. So, thank you for listening. Sorry if this is coming a little late. Life's been crazy this week. You can follow us on Twitter at FIBpod. You can follow us on Instagram at FlushingIsBurningPod. And you can email us at FlushingIsBurning@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, I assume you enjoy the rest of the shows on Homer and Applesauce. A Pod of Their Own, From Complex to Queens, Today Your Love, Tomorrow the World series. They're all great shows on there. And I'm not just saying that. I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's ass here. I genuinely do listen to all of these shows. If you like all those shows, you like Home Run Applesauce, if you go to homerunapplesauce.com, the link to the Patreon on there, you click that, it brings you to Patreon. I believe it's $5 a month, which, you know, you don't have to give it. But if you want, if you have the means, the wherewithal, you give the $5 a month, and that ends up filtering its way back to us here. You get you all sorts of special stuff, get you access to our private Discord server, which I've been really bad at updating. I need you to understand. It has been very difficult for me to remember things. Like this specific thing. You know, I think it's because I used to do it a lot at work. And then work has become very A, busy, and B, weird about me using any sort of personal device, which has become very annoying because it's never been like that. So that was like my posting time. I knew, okay, got to post. I'm here, got to post. And then just can't do it anymore. Can't look at my phone. So I will try to remember more. My New Year's resolution that I'm making on February 3rd is to get better at posting and doing stuff like that, because I was really good last year. And then it fell off as I was making my way through the year and as work was getting weird. But I'm making a promise to you now. You go to the Patreon, you click on that. I completely sidetracked from that. I'm so sorry. I'm all over the place tonight. Click on the Patreon. You go in there, you pay $5 a month. You get access to our Discord server. There's exclusive episodes on there. There's like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it, like playlists that they put together. I don't know how frequently they do those, but those are great. They get a host to do it each time. Yeah. There might be other fun stuff on there at some point. Merch, maybe. I don't know. I'm pitching here. I'm just pitching. I'm throwing spitball in here. But yeah, if that sounds, if that, you know, piques your fancy, head on over and, you know, donate. You know, we appreciate it, because this is labor of love. It really is. And, yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening. And I will talk to you next week at some point.